States v. Sims, Mr. Zopf.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Michael Zopf. I was appointed to represent Mr. Sims some 20 months ago. This case involves a series of law enforcement actions by several different police departments. Probably the genesis of the reason that we're in federal court is that at some point previously, my client had agreed to act as an informant for the federal government in a prosecution out of Oklahoma involving one Greg Glosser and the transportation of methamphetamine.
What is this connected with what you're saying?
The connection is that Greg Glosser's brother was the person that made the complaint that initiated.
What? I don't understand.
Well, the item in question.
What you're complaining about lack of particularity in a warrant.
The purpose of that, Your Honor, is to talk about the first step, which was getting a search warrant for a place that they've already searched with a purported protective sweep. When Officer Quick from the Charleston Police Department first approached 21 Taylor.
Why does this matter to the particularity issue? That's what I don't know.
It matters more importantly to the finding of Judge McCussey of good faith. We had several violations in that my client was pulled from his residence by Officer Quick for a so-called detention, even though none of the traditional Terry stop grounds existed. He was arrested based upon Officer Weinstock from the Toledo Police Department suggesting that a grill on the porch in open view that did not require a search of the house was the subject of a burglary. They arrest my client. Then they have Mr. Glosser's brother, Greg Glosser was incarcerated, come and identify the grill.
Assuming there was bad faith, I don't see how that makes your case because isn't this, you know, an inevitable discovery case?
It would be inevitable discovery if there wasn't a causal connection between the violation and the entrance into the residence where the subject of the federal prosecution was. They got a search warrant for three different locations, a garage, a vehicle, and the home. They could have met all of the concerns raised out of the Toledo Police Department if they'd have searched the garage, recovered Mr. Glosser's tools, the welder, the yellow MIG welder that Mr. Officer Quick thought was important, taking the grill off the porch with no need whatsoever to invade my client's residence.
Well, I don't understand. So are you challenging the affidavit or the warrant?
The warrant was clearly insufficient.
The warrant is insufficient. What's wrong with the affidavit?
Well, the affidavit wasn't specifically incorporated, and it was
I know that, but what was wrong with the affidavit? Is this just a slip-up by the judge who failed to copy the affidavit into the
judge?
Warrant?
I don't think it was a slip-up by the judge. It was a rush by the Charleston Police Department who didn't wait.
They present the affidavit, so what more is the police department supposed to do?
Conduct the search in an orderly fashion.
Look. They present an affidavit to a judge, and they ask for a warrant. And he gives them a warrant, but he fails to copy the description of the affidavit into the warrant.
Had that happened, they would have had a more particularized search. They would have gone to the garage. Judge, the firearm in question was never mentioned in the search warrant. It was only found because they conducted this kind of generalized search.
But are you saying that the search exceeded the description in the warrant?
Yes. Yes. Especially when you examine Chief Applegate's testimony that they get 200 tools from the garage. They get the mag light from the garage. They get the grill from the porch. There was absolutely no need for them to go in. When Officer Quick does his purported protective sweep, which Maryland v. Bowie says is supposed to be for people, he's looking at all kinds of items.
Well, you've lost me.
I guess what you're saying is the search was for some stolen property.
Correct, Your Honor.
And that they just ran across his.
And if they wanted to use an inevitable discovery of plain view, they'd already found everything they were looking for. The search of the residence was absolutely not necessary. In Illinois, it is legal to have a firearm in your home. My client had a firearms identification card. Up until he changed his plea, was not a convicted felon. This was a, I can't say it's calculated because it was so sloppy, but the fact that my client had not completed his agreement with the federal authorities brought in all of this law enforcement attention.
But the affidavit asked for permission to search his house, right?
It did.
Okay. Now, are you saying that if that had been repeated in the warrant would have been invalid because there was no probable cause
I'm saying
yes or no?
I'm not saying the warrant would be invalid. I'm saying the execution of the warrant was improper.
Then you've lost me. If the warrant had said permission to search his residence, then why would it be impermissible to search his residence?
Because they were looking for items that had.
Then you're saying that it shouldn't have been in the warrant. It shouldn't have. Right? I mean, you lost me. The question I put to you was, would it have been improper for the warrant to have authorized a search of the residence?
Yes, based upon what we know.
Okay, so you're changing.
Because the specific items that were discovered to have been stolen.
Your complaint really has nothing to do with the particularity of the description of the warrant.
Oh, it has something to do with that as well,
no,
Your Honor.
It has nothing to do with that because you're saying even if the warrant had been as particularized as the affidavit, the warrant would have been invalid. Aren't you saying that?
I'm suggesting.
Are you saying that or not?
No, it's not invalid. I'm saying the execution of it.
You lost me completely because a warrant is invalid if it's not supported by probable cause. You're saying there was no probable cause to search his residence.
There was probable cause for the garage.
You are saying there was no probable cause to search his residence.
Yes, I am.
If that's true, why wouldn't a warrant that authorized the search of his residence be invalid?
Then it would follow from that. Yes, I agree.
Your problem, say, in the execution is that this weapon was in some kind of a camouflage bag or something?
It was.
Wasn't in plain view?
It wasn't in plain view.
Would it have been natural to search that bag looking for stolen property?
Well, if they hadn't recovered all the tools and the grill and all these other things,
You say they found everything, therefore there's no need to search further.
Correct.
And that's where it's wrong in the execution.
And the reason they had that information about the weapons was because of the so-called protective sweep. When my client is pulled out of his house without an arrest warrant, when the other occupant exits, that's Becky Klein, Officer Quick could have gone in there to do a cursory search to make sure there was no one in there. He went in, but he still conducted a search. Based upon that information, that's when they got the search warrant. But they didn't include anything about the weapons. If they had some reason to believe the weapons were stolen, were illegal in some way, it'd be one thing. But once again, under state law, those weapons were perfectly legal. They're in a residence, which the Fourth Amendment is designed to protect.
Well, wasn't the serial number obliterated or something?
But that would have to be an inspection.
Well, I know, but this thing wasn't laid out in plain view, I guess.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Unless there are other questions, I'd like to save some time for rebuttal.
So what you're saying is that if you have a warrant to search a house, say for a gun, as soon as they find the gun, they have to stop the search? Is that your basic
argument? If it wasn't contaminated by the protective sweep, no.
Answer my question, yes or no?
No.
No, they can continue searching?
Continue to search.
No, they found what they were looking for?
If there's something in plain view, they could continue to search, or it's a location that could or might contain something.
You're adding these funny qualifications. They have a warrant to search a house for a gun. They come in. The gun is in the living room. You know, they pick it up. Now, do they have to stop their search, or can they search the rest of the house?
They can continue to search.
Why? When they found what they're looking for.
In this situation.
No, answer my question. I don't get the logic of your reasoning at all. They found what they're looking for. Now, don't they have to stop searching once they found what they look for?
They can stop searching if they've got another...
Once they've found what they're looking for, shouldn't they stop searching? What's the purpose of continuing to search?
They could or might have other items that they're looking for.
No. I say all a warrant authorizes is looking for a gun. And they go into the living room, there's the gun. Now, aren't you arguing that they can't continue searching since they found the only thing they were authorized to look
yes.
for? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Zopp. Mr. Miller?
May it please the court, counsel. United States requests that the court affirm the judgment of the district court in this case that the illegally...
Yes, we know that.
Yes.
That's obvious. All right. What about this last example? What he's saying, I think what Mr. Zopp is saying is, if they're looking for something, you know, they're authorized to search the residence as well as the garage, forgetting the, you know, the slip between the affidavit and the warrant. But they find what they're looking for in the garage. So what's the basis for their going on and searching the house?
As a factual matter, that's not correct.
Okay. How is it not correct?
The record shows that they searched the residence first. They had not searched the garage at the time that they searched the residence. That was the first place they searched. So they had not found the tools that were listed in the affidavit. They had not found the other items that were listed in the affidavit. I also want to make it clear, I thought I heard counsel suggesting that the residence was in the affidavit but not listed in the search warrant. The residence was clearly listed in the search warrant as a place to be searched. The failure was to list in the search warrant the specific list of items that were included in the affidavit.
So they had the warrant to search the house. They searched the house first.
Yes, Your Honor.
They tripped over this bag, I guess searching for stolen property, and out fell a gun.
That's correct, Your Honor. Officer Weinstock testified during the suppression hearing that he was not looking for firearms in the residence. In the affidavit, and he is the officer who drafted that affidavit, which we think is relevant, he had listed numerous stolen items, including chrome snap-on tools with the initials GAG on them. They were later recovered in the garage. They had not been recovered at the time he was searching the residence. As he indicated, he looked in the camouflage bag, as we believe he was entitled.
Is there any basis for thinking they were in the house rather than in the garage?
I believe the basis was that they would be at the entire property. The tools had not been seen at any location. They had not been seen in the garage or in the residence. The grill itself that had been identified as stolen was on the porch of the residence, not the garage. Now, a welder had been seen in the garage, I believe also a torch, but the tools had not been seen.
Well, the grill was something, right, you'd be using to cook?
It was a gas grill, an outdoor
right.
gas
and
grill.
The tools you wouldn't be using in the house, presumably, would you?
Well, I believe it would be a fair inference that if items were stolen, the tools, I believe some that were recovered were wrenches. Wrenches could certainly be used in a house.
Don't people keep tools in a house because if they put it in a garage, it's vulnerable to somebody passing by stealing them?
Well, that could be. And in fact, that's what happened in this case.
It's an academic thing. I keep it, whatever few tools I have, there must be at least three of them, a hammer, a screwdriver, and pliers, in the house, not in the garage.
Yeah, that's correct, Your Honor.
Well, these were just personal tools like that.
What was listed in the affidavit was chrome snap-on tools with the person's initials written into them. What was recovered were sockets, wrenches, those type of items, so personal tools.
I see. Not for woodworking or something, but just like what Judge Bauer has.
Correct, Your Honor. Different than the welder that you would expect right. to be in a garage. And while it might be more likely that you would find the tools in the garage, we don't believe that means there was not probable cause to believe that the tools might be inside the residence, which is where the officer searched. I do just want to correct another fact. Counsel had raised about Officer Quick. He talked about a protective sweep where they were looking in all sorts of items, and I believe that was included in the brief as well. Officer Quick's testimony at the hearing was clear. He did a protective sweep for persons. He only looked for persons, and he said he didn't look for any other items or persons. He would have never seen these firearms in a camouflage bag. He did see another firearm that was open.
With regard to the legal issue, So you rely on our opinion in Stefanik. But don't we have to re-examine that in light of the Supreme Court's Groh versus Ramirez?
Your Honor, we believe that Groh supports Stefanik. The issue in Stefanik was whether suppression was the appropriate remedy. Stefanik found that the warrant
right,
in that...
One of the reasons we said was that there was no real purpose in having the stuff in the having the description of the items in the warrant, because you don't have to even show the warrant to the person whose house you're searching.
That's correct,
Whereas
Your Honor.
In Groh, Justice Stevens seemed to think it, a function of the particularity requirement is so that the homeowner can look at the warrant and, I don't know, argue with the officers or something if the items aren't described in it.
I believe that Justice Stevens' opinion did quibble with...
Well, it's the majority opinion, so...
I think, though, I know this court since in...
We accord a certain amount of weight to Supreme Court opinions.
Yeah. But this court, after that after Groh was decided,
sometimes.
This year, Cazares Olivas decided in 2008, this court addressed that very issue, and the issue where there was a telephonic search warrant that was obtained... Actually, there was permission to search obtained by telephone under the Rule 41, but no actual warrant was ever produced. And in that opinion, discussing Groh and discussing Stefanik, this court had held that that was not a main purpose of the particularity requirement at all, was to have a physical warrant that would allow the person there to monitor the search. They said it was to certainly wanted to have the warrant to prevent the person from disputing the search, but it was not to allow the person to monitor whether the items listed in the search warrant were being obtained. That could be done, as they say, post ante. After the search was done, they could question that in court. And certainly it's done before the warrant is issued by a neutral magistrate. And those things both happened in this case. The warrant in this case with the affidavit was taken to a detached judge who looked at the affidavit and decided there was probable cause to search. So that purpose, that underlying purpose for the particularity requirement was met. And in this case...
But does the judge usually or magistrate actually draft the warrant, or do the police give him something to sign?
I don't think that's in the record. I would assume that in this case the practice was that the police drafted the warrant. In fact, in this case, right. The officer Weinstock had testified. He was from the Toledo Police Department, which was in a different county where the items were stolen. He wanted to do the search in Charleston County, where the residence was located. He actually went to the Charleston Police Department. It was late on a Sunday night, and consulted with a detective there and obtained his assistance in drafting. And so we assume that detective is the person who drafted the affidavit and the search warrant, and then the judge merely signed the warrant.
Well, with the warrant in hand, then, just get to the gun and why it was okay the way they found it and why that's what he's charged with.
Right. With the warrant in hand, they had authority to search the residence, which they did, and look for the items listed in the affidavit. Looking for the tools, he looked in a camouflage bag, as he testified. As he looked into the bag, saw the guns, he was in fact questioned by counsel, and said he looked at it, saw there was an obliterated serial number, and took the gun. He also took other actions at that time. He then, for officer safety purposes, he examined the gun to see if it was loaded, which it was, with a round in the chamber, and he unloaded the gun. But we believe that he was entitled to look in the camouflage bag, looking for the tools. As he testified, he saw the gun, saw the obliterated serial number, and seized the gun. So we do believe that under this court's jurisprudence that that seizure was proper, that it would be a disproportionate remedy to allow a guilty defendant in this case to go free when the harm caused in this case has no causal link to the search and seizure. The scope of the search would have been exactly the same if they just would have done what they should have done, incorporate the affidavit by reference or list those items in the search warrant. The search warrant would have taken place in the exact same manner, the gun would have been seized, and we would be in the same position other than not having to rely on Stefanik before this court.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Mr. Zoff, your time expired, but we'll give you a minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. Answered three quick questions. Officer Quick saw the welder In the garage. He could have gone in there. My client had no expectation of privacy there. The practice in Illinois was that you would show the warrant. In fact, it's specifically required under Chapter 725, Section 108-1, et cetera. Now, Judge McCuskey indicated he wasn't going to use that to form any conclusions. Our position is that in terms of a causal connection between their violations and what happened to my client, that that is some area that the court should and could consider. In addition to that, it is practice to show the warrant to the subject. You're required under Illinois law to leave the warrant there. Illinois practice is, in all these counties, Coles County, Cumberland County, that the assistant state's attorneys prepare the search warrant so these problems don't take place. These folks rushed, and the reason they rushed was because of this overlying thing about Greg Glosser. This case is a criminal trespass, and yet we call out all these officers, get this search warrant, go through all this endeavor, only because they wanted to get something on John Sims that would land him exactly here. I want to appreciate or advise the court that my client appreciates the fact with his 30-month sentence, he's scheduled to be released in April of 2009, so the fact that you've advanced this, he appreciates, should you rule in his favor, he'd appreciate it even more.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Zaffa, and we thank you for your agreeing to represent you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Accept the appointment and your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.